a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Light some incense. Let's get in the vibe. Play your pan flute, mate. You're very good at it.
Okay.
We just need to realise that today is a very special day. It's the 8th of the 8th, and that means every year the Lionsgate portal. It's a very special day for manifesting.
Yeah.
Positive energy.
I actually am playing my pan flute and talking to you at the same time by utilising my Lionsgate portal. That's where I've popped the pan flute.
Okay. Sorry, I talked over that gang.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
That was a good one.
It's the only one I've got for this break, so you're on your own.
Each year on August 8th, the Lionsgate portal opens. So it's basically when the sun in Leo aligns with the star Sirius, which is the brightest star. Orion's belt and the Earth, a powerful portal of energy is opened. And that is good for us because that means we can manifest our biggest desires and bring positivity back into our life.
Mm.
And for sad sacks like us, great. For this one day, let's stop being negative. No, wake up. Or no, you're meditating because you're feeling so relaxed.
Oh, mate, it's just what I do when I pan flute.
Okay.
My soul leaves my body. I float up to the ceiling. Also happens when you tell an incredibly boring story.
It's not boring.
It's the same thing.
Okay, I'm positive. You will not get me down today, then.
Not me and my Lionsgate.
Not on my Lionsgate portal day, because it's all about positivity and manifesting. So set some time aside today to write down your biggest desires, and the more specific, the better.
And put them in the bin.
No, don't. Put them in the bin.
Write them on a piece of paper and put them in the bin, like all good ideas that you have.
Mate, this might be all a bit woo-woo, but it's
very woo-woo.
Can work for you.
Mm.
So take some time today. Sit amongst nature. Maybe do a meditation.
Yeah.
Do something for yourself.
Do it nude. It's only going to be sort of 15 degrees. What is it outside at the moment? 2.1 feels like 0.7.
Yeah.
Get out amongst the mangroves.
It's the Lionsgate portal, 8th of the 8th. I just wanted everyone to know.
Okay? If you point your Lionsgate portal at the sky.
What? Go on. Go on. What? What happens?
You'll receive the universe or something related. Damn, couldn't say the word universe. Almost got there. Idiot.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
This is it.
Guess the year.
Hey, all right, it is time for Geelong Surf Coast, the Bellarine's favourite Tuesday-based game. Talk about guess the year. I believe you might have won the last 2 weeks, Lingy.
I believe so, yeah. Let's go with that.
Come on, Lingua.
All right. What we're going to do is play little bits of songs and cast our minds back through the mists of time. Try and remember where we were, what we were doing the first time we heard that song. Usually some sort of teenage trauma we were enduring.
That'll give club us, will be crying at.
Yeah. Sure.
That's how I remember.
That'll give us some sort of indication as to the year the song was released. We write it down on a piece of paper. It's closest to without going over in the traditional Price is Right arrangement.
Love you, Larry.
Best of three. I think we're ready to play.
You can play at home.
If you're driving, though, don't write anything down. Just keep it up here.
And he's pointing to his brain.
We'll believe you. All right, question number one. Guess the year this week sounds like.
Do you know who it is?
No.
Kate Bush. It got a resurgence last year because of Stranger Things.
Ah, see, I was about to say last year. So, but that was
write that. 2022.
Okay. So I'm saying I should go a little earlier than that. Like, I always look to Loggy for a bit of an indication from the eyes. Like, is it?
You can tell by how aggressive the eyebrows
are.
Okay. Have we all written something down?
Yeah.
Got it.
All right. 3, 2, 1. 1985.
Ooh.
2, 5, and 2.
I think Amal's going to write 5.
All right, here we go.
The year was 1985.
Damn it!
I will take that. Thank
sorry, you. I mean, congratulations.
We're very
wow, that's the first time I've seen you like super
I've
angry
wrote 85 and I'm like, nah, 82.
What do you mean? It's every week. All right, here we go. Question number 2.
Give me one reason to stay.
Why don't we play this? Can we put this on the roster?
No.
Who's that?
Tracy Chapman.
Yeah. I thought it was. I was just too scared to say it because I thought you'd both laugh at me.
Oh,
I would never laugh at you.
Would never to your face laugh at you.
All right.
Always behind.
I'll see if I can be 15 years off this one as well.
All right.
1972.
Okay, hang on. I just got to cross that out.
Intentionally undercut. All right. 3, 2, 1. 1994. 1, 2, 4. Here we go.
Was 1995.
Oh, that's a log. Right. You thought you had that then, didn't you, Tommy?
No, I was I was trying to remember who said four. All right, so one apiece to Log and I. And Lingy, if you want to get involved at all, please chime in. Here we go. Question number three. This is Big Bro, taking over the show. Oh, new flow, spelled NU.
Oh, clever.
Are they a plumbing company or is it a Big Bros song? Big Brothers, I should say.
This is hard.
Yeah.
You two keep talking. Give me
just
hints.
Sort of popped into my brain. I've written something down.
A guess.
Oh, yeah,
I've
me too.
A guess.
All right, you ready?
No, hang on. This will be close. Here we go. Go.
3, 2, 1. 2003.
2.
Oh, 1, 2, 3.
I was in the ballpark.
Here we go.
The year was 2002.
Oh, Lingy.
Tiebreaker.
All right, tiebreaker. Here we go. Let's get moving. Question number four. I don't
wanna know. Damn. I was crying in Townsville, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, good. That helps me.
What year are we in?
Loggy was crying in that year.
Okay, I'm going to say.
All right, I've had a guess.
I've got it.
You've got it. Yeah. All right, here we go.
On
3, 2, 1.
2016.
15 for me.
15 said, we both said 16. Okay. All right, here we go.
The year was 2017.
It's a Loggy Tom win.
Tiebreaker. You can't break that
Did
one.
Did you prepare another song?
No, why? We can't play forever. we take the draw if we have
that
to.
One.
It doesn't
I'm
taste
happy with that.
Doesn't taste good, but we take it anyway. Okay. That's fine. Guess the Year returns next week.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Very special guest joining us online now for a very important reason, Log.
Yeah, this is an insane proposal that is going on. They want to sort of blast the Otway Basin, which is between, you know, northwest Tasmania all the way to the South Australian border. This area is a very special area. It is also a whale protected area. It's a whale habitat area. And they want to do seismic blasting in this area, which is basically just absolutely terrible for the environment. There's only a couple of days that we can protest this. And a lot of people still don't know about it. So that's why I wanted to bring it to the table. And we've got the lovely Sean Doherty. You might know him from doing articles, Surfer Tracks, or even Surfing World, which is a big thing at our house, Surfing World, but also the chair of Surf Riders Foundation. Good morning, Sean.
Yeah, morning, guys.
Scary times, mate. And for people who don't understand, because Loggy made a good point at the start there, we're running out of time to sort of voice our objection to this happening, but a lot of people don't understand. So can you just break it down for us? What are they proposing that they're going to do?
Absolutely. So basically what you're looking at, it's a multinational oil and gas exploration company, and they specialise in seismic blasting, which is the first step of testing to find oil and gas. And basically they're looking for gas in this case. Which happens, you know, right around the country in different places. What's happening here is really it's the scale of it. You're looking at an area almost the size of Tasmania, and as you said, it's stretching from northern Tasmania all the way to the South Australian border. So it's a huge area, and it's a very speculative kind of, you know, operation. They just sit out there and they're trying to find gas under the seabed. And as you'd imagine, trying to do that from the surface requires a lot of energy. So these seismic blasts go off. It goes all the way, penetrates a couple of kilometres down into the seabed, and anything that gets in the way of that obviously is going to have a rough time. And it's, as you alluded to, it's a very sensitive kind of environment out there. You know, it's a whale. You know, there's whales all through it. There's all sorts of critters on the floor of the sea. And it's just, it's just madness. It really is.
Sean, do we know, or do they know, of any scientific research that's actually been done on the impact of this seismic blasting on the whales, dolphins, seals, all those sea life that you're talking about?
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of science around it. There's not a lot, obviously, because it's a very hard thing to test because you can't test it on whales. But the sensitivity with the whale's hearing, obviously, that's how they get around by, you know, they sonar locate. And to have these blasts, which are up to 245 decibels, AC/DC in concert's 100 decibels.
Wow.
But if you think about it, it's got to penetrate down through a couple of kilometres of seabed. So it's hugely powerful. And these blasts go, the program's due to go for 4 years out there. That's how big this area is. And yeah, it's hard to quantify the damage. Obviously, there's science around the effects on commercial species, around scallops and commercial fish and small zooplankton, you know, that basic building block of marine life. But it is an area where a lot of the science actually gets done by the companies themselves.
Mm.
And so it's really hard to contest. And you end up with the situation we're in now, where they lodge an environment plan and you have to unpick it, basically, as a layman. So it's really tough stuff to navigate through and understand. But it's, it's hugely destructive in the end.
1,400-page environment plan, and it's been open for comment for almost a month now, but it does close August 11. There doesn't seem to be a lot of publicity about it. Apparently, the three coastal councils between Port Ferry and Torquay are all formally opposing the plan. But are they... I mean, I don't want to get anyone in any trouble and say the wrong thing, but is it sort of a case of like, hey, this is what's going to happen and we won't tell anybody about it, or we'll do the bare minimum to publicise it so that we can then get it over the line with the minimal protesting?
Yeah, well, essentially that's the way the industry works in Australia. You know, this plan that they've lodged, the only public announcement they need to make is in the classifieds of a newspaper, which really, you know, how many people does that get to these days? And that triggers the 30-day period where the public can comment on it. And a lot of this stuff is done in the dark, you know, and it's designed to keep the public at arm's length from it because, you know, if you took a straw poll along that whole length of coast from Tasmania across to South Australia and asked people whether they thought it was a good idea to do this, you'd be lucky to find enough people to fill a phone box who'd say it was. So it's, you know, and we find ourselves in the situation we're in now where we've got, you know, just a matter of days to have the public comment on this. This isn't the end of the process. This is basically the environment plan around it. But it really is the essence of what this is all about. This is where you argue the science of it, you know, the effects of it, the long-term effects of it, and it should be a more public process. You know, these are conversations we should be having publicly, and hats off to you guys for picking up the phone and having a chat about it.
Well, look, the thing is, a lot of people, like you said, they have big feelings about this, but they can't do anything unless they know. To make a comment, though, sometimes this isn't very easy. It's not sort of writing your name down and signing a petition. How do people make a comment about this if they want to fight it?
Yeah, it's really tough because it's, as you said, it's a 1,400-page, really dense science document, and it's hard to contest a lot of the claims that the company make. That, you know, the company obviously says this is safe. And it's really hard as a punter to say, well, actually, it's not. Fortunately, you've got some great environment groups. My one, Surfrider Foundation, the Australian Marine Conservation Society, Ocean, which is based down the Otway Coast down here, Surfers for Climate. They're all offering some tips on their sites in terms of where some of the holes in this program might be, you know, in terms of the effects of it, what the company's claiming, what really might happen as a result. And because you have to argue on the terms of the environment plan. You can't just say, well, I think this is a bad idea, because that really won't fly. But it is actually a good exercise to undertake, to actually understand it a little. And the more you understand it, the kind of darker and you know, the more dangerous it seems.
It just seems, as you said, you have to argue it on the merits of what they present, but even just as simple as saying, this doesn't pass the pub test. You know, you come in and just tell me the basics here, Sean, and I straight away go, this just doesn't sound right. It seems like something that can't go ahead, shouldn't go ahead.
Yeah, it's just the scale of it, Lingy. It's just huge. It's like You know, it's almost the size of Tasmania. And because basically what this is, in essence, this is the first step in the development of oil and gas. So basically this is a first step. And if it went ahead and ran through all the steps, you've got gas wells out there that potentially running for 40, 50, 60 years. So you set in chain this process that locks these things in. Mm. At a time we should be looking to do other stuff. You know, Victoria turned around last week and banned new gas appliances in homes. Mm. So demand's actually decreasing for gas use. There's gas in production already down in the Otways. So we've got gas turning over and there's enough there for a transition. But to implement it on this scale at this time, it just seems like madness.
There's a lot of people like us, Sean, who just feel like at the moment the world's going to hell in a handbasket in some ways. It can be very depressing. I know me, I really feel it. And a lot of the time you feel like, what can we do? I mean, I'm composting, I'm saving water, but the little guys like us, you feel like you just can't do anything. Here's something that you can do that will make a change. If you can sit down, if you can read through this, if you can write this out, you know, dedicate half an hour this week before you go to bed, do something to write down, look at all this information. We're going to pop up all the links online. And this is a way that you can make a difference. And, yeah, it's just amazing that people like yourself as well are reading through all this stuff and essentially doing the hard work for us and looking at classifieds and things like that, because general people like us would have no idea that this is happening. So thank you so, so much for all the hard work you do, Sean. We really, really appreciate it.
No, and like I said, I appreciate your interest in it because it's a hugely important issue that hasn't had a lot of lead time. And, no, we really appreciate your interest in it.
All right. Well, thanks for your time this morning. And look, let's hope that it's prompted a few more people to get involved and have a look at the situation. And we'll keep everyone up to date as it all develops. Sean, Surfrider Foundation, love your work. And thanks for the chat.
Thanks, guys. Have a good morning.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
So, my sister and brother-in-law's car got egged last night at the supermarket. And I was like, egging? I haven't heard of something getting eggs for a massive amount of time.
Mm. No.
We used to go egging back in the day. It's not cool. Especially when you're older and it happens to you, you're like, damn, those kids.
Yeah, I'm going to have to really wash this car now because if not, it's going to affect the Duco. Yep.
Yeah, the Duco. yeah. That always gets mentioned.
You put it out to people to call in. Have you been egged? Or we're even happy for someone who had done the egging and we'll keep you anonymous. No one called. That means egging's not a thing anymore.
Egging's not a thing. Well done, community.
Yeah.
We've really grown.
It's Cozzy Libs, I think.
They aren't cheap. But also, I swear to God, I've seen eggs on the pavement at the front here on Moorabool Street when I've been coming to work of a morning. Like, you know, it's like it's come from a moving car, so it's that, like,
really?
Smear, like, psh, it's hit the pavement.
I've never seen that, but yeah. There you go. Maybe I don't notice.
They were fresh ones getting thrown at you by people passing by.
Poor just some random bald guys walking past the radio station. They're like, it's Tom!
Yeah, yeah. It's a hot one.
As soon as you started talking about eggs, it got me thinking about, so me and a mate of mine, housemate of mine, we when we were living in Torquay, we thought we were so clever because we created a war between two households.
Oh, man.
Stephen King and Maddie Scarlett were living together.
Yeah.
And then Gary Ablett, I think Nath was there, but then also like Dave Johnson and maybe Jason Davenport. It was a whole house full.
Yeah.
And me and my mate, who wasn't at the footy club, but he's a local guy, we thought one night we'd sneak out. We threw eggs and we say attacked Gaz's house.
Mm.
But somehow we did it where we made it like, seem as though it was Scarlo and Kingy attacking their house. So then they retaliated against Maddie Scarlett and Stephen King.
Oh.
And then it just created this all-out battle over a few nights.
Amazing.
And the moment we heard it was going to die down because they were making peace at the footy club, like, no, I never, we didn't do it. We didn't start it.
Deny.
Yeah, me and my mate, we'd get it going again. We'd reignite it. We'd go around to King's house and launch eggs at them and they'd be back on again. We thought we were the smartest people.
So sneaky.
Until one night we'd run out of eggs. All we had was rotten avocados.
Oh, no!
And my mate, who's a tradie, had this bright red Holden ute.
Yeah.
We've thought, let's go get them with avocados. So we've done it, driving in this bright red, the most obvious ute you could ever see.
Your red head out the window.
Exactly. Yeah. They've finally spotted us, realised it was us who were doing it the whole time. My mate parked in our driveway, copped an entire tray load of horse manure about two nights later. In his ute, in amongst his tools, everything.
Oh, my gosh.
And Cameron Ling got away scot-free. Yeah.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Lingy, you've got a story for us.
The roar of the stadium on their feet for the heroes.
Cameron Ling.
Well, I don't know if it's worth that sort of ovation. It's more of a rant. Did you know? Did you know? Did you know? It must be a state government edict. It must be, I don't know if the education department have done it this way. We got correspondence from the kids' school, some of the dates for next year's calendar.
Okay.
Did you know what the long weekend in June is referred to next year?
King's birthday?
No.
Oh, Queen's birthday?
No. Monarch's birthday weekend.
Oh, birthday.
Monarch's birthday weekend.
Is that because they're not sure if Charles will be around next year?
But the next, like, five people in the line of succession is a blokes, a king's. So the king's birthday is not going to change for a while, the language around it, but now we have to refer to it as the Monarch's birthday weekend.
Oh, are people just sick of having to... What is it like a gender? Maybe it's a gender neutral thing.
It's just
thing.
Like it's a woke thing. It's like Queen's birthday, yeah, fine. But if it's the king, oh, not my king, not my day. No, I will take the public holiday though. But I'm not calling it King's birthday. We need it to be gender neutral.
Thank you. That's exactly what you're right. That's what has happened.
Do you think that's it? I don't think that's what it is. I think they're just like, well, you know, he's pretty old.
Yeah, but the next one is King William. Know, then it's King. I can't remember.
I think it's
George.
Like they don't want to have to. They're thinking of people in 200 years. You know, they don't want to have to change all the messaging again.
It's
Queen's birthday, King's birthday. Let's just call it Monarch.
We got used to the Queen's birthday because she was in power for 50 years. There's going to be kings for another 50 years. Why can't we call it just King's birthday weekend?
You should write a letter about it.
Yeah.
And Tom?
Put it in the bin.
Don't put this one in the bin. Highly important.
All right. Well, you write it down.
Write it down.
And give it to me, okay? And I'll make sure it gets where it's supposed to go, okay? Angry little man.
Don't you raise those eyebrows at me.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.